Well, let's speak to Stephen Gibson. He's from SLG Economics and a former chief economist at Postal Regulator. Stephen, Nikki has a point, doesn't she? You know, that rural areas will be penalised, and the Royal Mail, to some extent, has been penalised for this gold-plated service.
OK, well, let's just think about this. In terms of the letters business, in terms of competitors, the only competitor is Whistle, which used to be TMT Post. That delivers less than 0.5% of all the letters in the country. So it is tiny comparison with Royal Mail. The real competitor, Royal Mail, is e-substitution. It's your emails and your texts and telephone calls, etc., that is cutting its way. Great swathes of letters are being reduced because of that. Imposing an obligation on TNT Post, or Whistle as they're now branded, would make virtually no difference to Royal Mail, but it would restrict competition, which is actually the one thing that drives a bit of efficiency out of Royal Mail, that allows them to reduce their prices and puts them on their edge so that they can actually compete effectively and develop new innovative services.
One texter this morning says it's the unions that have ruined it. They've ruined it and ruined it and ruined it, like they did in the coal industry, increasing demands, inflexible, and they've ruined the business.
The unions have been made it very difficult to innovate. You know, if you look at the working days lost from strike action, in the last big strike they had, Royal Mail strike days alone were over 50% of all the strike days lost in the country for that year in 2009. So the unions are a major barrier to radical change in the postal sector. But I don't think the unions are the problem here. I think what we should be thinking about is, what sort of postal service do we need? As Nikki said, you know, everyone needs to be connected to a postal service, but what sort of service? Do we actually need to have a uniform price? I mean, for example, we don't have a uniform price internationally.
Costs a fortune nowadays, doesn't it?
It does cost a fortune, and part of the problem is having a uniform price means that everyone pays an average price rather than people being able to pay lower prices where their costs are cheaper.
I'm interested, Nikki, when's the last time you received a letter? I mean, a proper letter, not a bill, not a bit of junk mail.
I get letters every day.
Really?
And I use the internet regularly, yes. Yeah. I'm frequently get letters.
Stephen, what about you? When's the last time you got a proper letter or sent a proper letter?
I send a few birthday cards and Christmas cards, but letters, virtually never.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, if you look at the research, that is absolutely typical. People spend about 40p a week on postage, but most of that is, as you say, sort of business, financial, marketing, junk mail, etc. It is a tiny, tiny proportion that are real handwritten letters. We have changed our society totally.
Nikki, what's the future going to look like for the Royal Mail? Because it can't, it seems, exist in its present form, according to the people that run it.
Of course it can't become another,
you know, HMV or Woolworths just, you know, rowing against the tide, can it? It's got to evolve, hasn't it?
Of course it's got to evolve, and of course it's got to innovate. But I don't actually agree with Stephen that by saying putting a universal service obligation on all operators removes competition. I think that, you know, if you start with a level playing field, they've then all got to innovate from the same starting point. And my plea still is that rural areas don't get forgotten in all of this. We don't overlook the move to online shopping and all the other side of things.
Particularly here in Cambridgeshire, we've got a lot of rural areas where, you know, a lot of people saying this morning they rely on that post box.
Yes.
What's the future look like, Stephen? What do you think the Royal Mail's going to look like in 10 years' time?
Well, I think Nikki's point about removing competition, if you think that any parcels or letters operator would have the capacity or the infrastructure to deliver every day, 6 days a week, to every address in the country, I think it will remove all competition in an instant. There is no other postal operator in the UK or internationally that could set up in any meaningful time scale a universal postal service in the UK. It might be nice to have a level playing field, but it's not conceivably commercially viable to have two sets of postal services. It's like having two sets of water pipes to your door.
Okay, very quickly, what's the future going to look like for the Royal Mail?
I think the future will actually, some of the financial difficulties will push them to have a sensible debate about what we really need from our postal service. And I think that will help us to get a modern postal service for the 21st century rather than one that's been delivered for the 20th century we currently have.
Well, we're having that debate this morning. You can join in and put your two penneth in or your 60p worth. 08459 25 2000 81333 on text. What should the future look like for the Royal Mail? You heard there from Stephen Gibson, SLG Economics, former chief economist at postal regulator Postcom. Nikki Curry, Country Land and Business Association, very worried that rural areas will be cut off if this service is endangered in any way, if this government mandated universal service is downgraded. Would you be lost without the Royal Mail, or is it about time they sorted themselves out and evolved, modernised? Answers: the reason Royal Mail is going down the hill, I feel, is because its standards are dropping. I sent a parcel in time for Thursday delivery, first class. My friend received it on Wednesday. A first class letter a few days later took 4 days to arrive. I think it's wrong to have a different price for different areas. That will be the end for the Royal Mail, considering the internet is available, of course. I send mainly birthday cards, thank you cards, as I like receiving them. If Royal Mail has different prices, I'll change to e-cards, says Anne. For years, says this texter, the government milked the profits from the post office. The posties in our village of Hardwick are great. Rather than pay a fortune in posting gifts to relatives in America, I buy them on Amazon USA site and they send them directly. It's quicker too, says this texter. And Lou says, posting a letter was cheap from various places in the UK. Now it costs me £1.60 to send a letter to my sisters in New York. It's too expensive. And Jen in Huntingdon says, please keep letterboxes. It's the only way I can complain and get proof of what is going on. My support for the posties, says Jen in Huntingdon. What about you?
It's what everybody's talking about. Paul Stainton's Big Conversation on BBC Radio Cambridgeshire.
We've got calls in, by the way, with the Royal Mail and the Communication Workers Union, and should they get back to us, we'll get them on the show.